Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's BMAC Behind the Glass, a Monday edition, a Black Monday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Well, Lovie Smith, one and is done. That was the headline in the Chronicle today. One and done, spelled W-O-N. So many layers of this onion to uncover. Blakers,
ooh, boy,
where should we start? Should we start with the game yesterday? Should we start with the fact that the Texans, would you call it unthinkable that they did the unthinkable? I don't think it was unthinkable. I'm very surprised it came out last night, though. Very surprised the news dropped last
night. Let's go chronologically. Let's take the game itself, and then let's get into the news afterwards with Lovie, because most people lost their bleeping minds during the game and then with the result of the game yesterday. And I think that a lot of people didn't think it all the way through when they were coming back at us last week when we said it wouldn't be the most ideal situation. It would be a totally Texan thing to Texan.
There wasn't many people that were coming back at us, though.
Oh, there was some. And I even got some that said, I don't even understand why you guys would bring this up because it's the same.
Losing?
Yeah.
What?
They don't.
Like, where did this exist?
And even if when I said it's not just about the first round, it's about controlling every round of the draft by having the first pick of every subsequent round so that you could dictate trades, you could dictate getting the player you want and possibly getting more picks and all these things. Oh, that's not that important. It's not that important because two is not that far from one.
That couldn't be more than like 10% of people.
I even heard Granato this morning saying it wasn't that big of a deal if you pick two or you pick one.
I can understand that because like I don't think that like what you get at number two can be better than what you get at number one. It could. It's possible.
It could.
But it increases your chances of, one, picking the dude that you want at number one. It's just losing value, right? It's leaving money on the table whenever you have two and not one.
And losing some control, too. Because like we said, the perfect scenario to really kind of get people to understand it a little bit better is at the end of round one, day one, you have an entire night and into the day before you get into rounds two and three. You have the first pick in the second round. There are going to be so many teams that on their specific draft board saying, that guy slipped. That's the guy we want. We could go talk to Houston right now and make a move, give up a little something, but then get the guy in the second round we didn't think was going to be there,
yep.
And you could get more draft capital along the way, still probably getting a guy that you wanted all along, and now you have to wait a pick before you do that. The Bears cashed in with probably 3 to 5 extra quality players they're going to get out of this deal.
Well, I don't know if you can lock that up.
It's not locked.
They would have to trade.
It's my guesstimate, but I believe that they will make 1 to 2 trades that will get them a lot of extra draft capital because of what happened yesterday.
I saw some people calling it the golden ticket, like the number one pick being the golden ticket, and I would agree with that. I don't think that the Bears are going to stay at number one. So
no,
I agree with you on that front. I do not believe that they're going to stay at one. I think there's a lot of quarterback desperate teams that are out there. I think the Colts are one of them, and the Colts have the fourth pick now in the NFL draft, so it probably wouldn't cost as much for the Colts as opposed to a team who's drafting in the teens.
Right. No, I think that the Colts are definitely in the ballpark, and they want to do something. The Jets obviously need something done at quarterback, no matter if they get it through a trade free agency or they try and one more time take a swing at getting up high enough. But there are going to be enough teams. Tennessee, other teams are going to look at trying to upgrade quarterback quickly. And they're going to be calling because this draft class, unlike a year ago, has plenty of quarterback possibilities that intrigue general managers and think could be the guy for them. And so that's why I thought it was so hyper important that you went with embrace the suck the entire 2 year process and you played it out better than you possibly could have imagined. And then all in one fall swoop in the last game of the regular season, you watched it all slip a little bit. It didn't slip out of your fingers completely,
right,
but it slipped enough to where there's a little bit more of, there's other variables now involved, or at least one.
Yep.
that could affect you getting the player or players in each round that you want to get.
Yeah, and you could still come out of it all right. Like, it doesn't just shut the door on the fact that you could get a really good player at number two, and there's many times in the NFL where the number two player is better than the number one player. Situation matters. All of that comes into play. So it's not the, you know, the end-all, be-all where you're not going to get a good player. But you did leave money on the table. That's, you lost value by losing that game yesterday, and there's nothing good from coming from winning it. Positive momentum in the offseason, it doesn't exist, and you literally fired the guy by the time that you landed in Houston anyways. Development of young players. You're not getting more development because you win a game by a two-point conversion in the last minute of the game as opposed to losing by 1 point or not converting a fourth down and 20, which, by the way, being a Houston football fan, whether it's the Cougars or whether it's the Texans, I'm about sick of fourth down and 20. Texas Tech, fourth and 20, and then fourth and 20 yesterday for Davis Mills and the Houston Texans and Jordan Akins. I'm sick of fourth and 20. If I never hear fourth and 20 again in my life, I would be happy about it. Please, nobody said, ever bring up a fourth and 20 to me, ever.
Someone said nowhere in the NFL all year did a team have two fourth and 10 yards or more.
I heard that too.
Successfully
convert
a fourth and at least 10 yards in a game, let alone twice on the same drive. And the second one, like, I don't know how much on the take you have to be without being on the take, but the safety for the Colts, I hope he has a guaranteed contract with the Colts for next season.
Dude,
for the favor he did.
How did he not deflect that? How did I think he was tanking.
Even
how did he not make a play on that?
That's my point, because you could say, well, he got caught between knocking it down and picking it off. Well, that means that either way you're putting your hands on the freaking football, not letting it go right between the left and the right into the breadbasket of the receiver that catches it. And, oh, by the way, he was the defensive back on the tight end that got converted the two-point conversion, too. He was completely laying down. And that was unbelievable. I thought, oh, my God, they're finally going to do this. This is the last play. There's no way they're converting this. It's done. The Texans are finally going to do and see the embrace the suck all the way through. And then I just looked at it and went, oh, no. And literally earlier in the drive, this is why I say, too, Lovie, I think, already knew the writing was on the wall. And so I think that whether
I don't know about that. He said in the press conference that he expected to be back. I don't think Lovie Smith would lie in that situation.
I just think that the ultimate middle finger, if you're the three guys that are going to take it the worst if there's a change made or changes made, are going to be Davis Mills, because you already know all talk is they're looking to move on from you and get a franchise quarterback, and Lovie Smith and his son. Because if Lovie goes, his son goes, and they both are looking for work, and they said that Lovie and his son were arm in arm with big smiles on their faces as they left the field. I don't know if, you know, he put up a smokescreen, if he knew or he didn't knew, or if he had a feeling or he didn't. But if you're the Texans and Cal McNair and you really wanted that number one pick, it's really, really tough to put the future of trying to get that thing done in three guys' hands that know they're not going to probably be here next year.
I don't buy that.
You don't.
Here was Lovie, what he said at the press conference yesterday. This is why, look, I think that Lovie probably saw the writing in the wall. In fact, I think Lovie Smith is the one who leaked the information that he was pleading his case to Cal McNair as this one last Hail Mary to save his job. I believe that he saw the writing on the wall. I don't think that he was told officially that you're going to be fired. He probably was able to realize it and understand it was going to happen. But here's what Lovie said yesterday after the game, probably still fighting for his job postgame.
First off, there are reports. I don't know what the reports are. Yeah, I meet with Cal every Monday. I met with him this past Monday. So as far as we talk about what's happening, the last game, we understand the totality of the season on what's going on. Do I expect to be back? Yeah, I expect to be back. Absolutely.
I think he has to say that because he still wants the job. He still wants to be back as the Texans head coach. Could he see the writing on the wall? Probably. But he's still fighting for his job. What's he going to say there? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to be back or not.
Well, you got
like,
a job
have to
you
sound
don't.
Strong. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to sound like you have conviction. Now, as far as like the middle finger up to the Texans, I don't blame Lovie Smith and the players for trying to win that football game. You can't go to a head coach who's potentially coaching in the last game of his career as a head coach that thinks he's fighting for a job. You can't go to the players that are playing and be like, hey, why don't you throw an interception here? Like, you can't do that. Like, the coaches and players are going to try to you win. It's what Lovie Smith told you. It's what we heard from Herm Edwards a long time ago. You lace them up. You go to coach. You're a competitor. You're going to try to win. So I don't think that Lovie Smith should have been like playing for the tie, or that Lovie Smith should have ordered code red, or that Davis Mills should have thrown a pick. I don't think that that's realistic. I don't think that that's reasonable. Where I think the Texans screwed up, though, is that somebody above Lovie Smith, it should be Nick Caserio, but if it's not Nick Caserio, then it's Kyle McNair. Larry Tunsil doesn't play in that game yesterday. Maybe you want to get a lot of the Driscoll cat out there. Like, you just look at your roster, right? You have 53 players on your roster. You can activate dudes from the practice squad, and then you have a game day roster of 48. You figure out the 48 players that have to play, and you rest all of your good players. You rest Tunsil. You rest Titus Howard. You rest Christian Harris. You rest Jalen Petrie. Those dudes should not have been on the football field. The Texans screwed up before they ever kicked off. Once you kick off and Lovie Smith's coaching and the players are playing, they're going to try to win. Somebody above Lovie should have made sure that the best players of the Texans were not active yesterday, and they choked. We like kind of tongue-in-cheek last week said that this is one of the biggest games in Texans franchise history. If they don't lose on Sunday, they're chokers. It's a choking franchise. They choked. They screwed up. There is no benefit for winning that game. And the moment you kicked off with Larry Tunsil, Jalen Petrie, Christian Harris, Brandon Cooks on the football field, Lovie Smith's superiors screwed up.
Yeah, look, and this is where Caserio is supposed to step in to do exactly what you said, to control the roster, to say these are the guys we don't want to get hurt. We got nothing to play for. They already know where they stand with us, and we know where they stand with us because we know their abilities going forward. We don't need to get them hurt. We're going to do what the Bears did with Justin Fields. We're just going to do it to multiple people, and we're going to step in and take it out of your hands so that you don't have as many resources, so it doesn't look as bad if we inevitably do what we really would want them to do, and he didn't do it. So there's plenty of fingers to be pointed, plenty of people to have the fingers pointed at.
Can you point them at Lovie, though? Can you point them? I don't think you can point them at the coaching staff.
I think until you're unemployed, you are coaching to win every single time you take the field. And I think that, like I said, when you saw Lovie, I tweeted this, it's perplexing that you wouldn't go for two in week one, but you went for two emphatically in week 18. But because you're trying to win every game and because you want to go out a winner, whether it's just going out for the season or going out in your last hurrah as head coach of the Houston Texans, if you have a chance to win, you're going to try and win the ballgame. Yeah. And that's what he did.
I don't like the week one, week 18 analogy. I'll tell you why on the other side. Plus, Houston, we want to hear from you. Just my microphone just went limp like the Houston Texans franchise. We want to hear from you, Houston. We want to hear what you think. Lovie Smith fired Sunday night ahead of Black Monday. The Texans choking away pick number one in the 2023 NFL draft. 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Texans, one of the biggest games in franchise history yesterday, and they choked. They won. They can't do wrong, right, and then they fire Lovie Smith. The timing of it was very interesting. I want to get into the timing a little bit later. Okay. We're asking for the Hive. Tell us what your thoughts are. Pivotal day in Texans franchise history. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go there now for Gary. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, guys. You guys are going to be on the phone, on the radio a lot longer than me today. So if I can get through my take, I appreciate it.
That usually is a precursor for my take's going to be out there. Outrageous. But let's have it, Gary. Let's hear it.
Okay, I tend to believe the players. I was listening to Keyshawn and them this morning. A little bit. You remember I called in about the Dusty Baker situation, off of it a little.
We know
that.
Dusty Baker,
I was just saying that he knows his players. And so what I'm saying about this here, I do believe Lovie Smith did that intentionally. As Keyshawn and them were talking about, they have those conversations. Just like they have all types of conversations in the backdrop, things we're not privy to. I do believe the team he took to the Super Bowl, sentimental value he wanted to give them. And that's what Keyshawn and them were talking about. So I tend to believe the players that are in that locker room, well, he's not in that locker room, but played football, the conversations that they've had, and I just think he gifted them that for me. He knew he was gone. He knew it. We know it. We know when the marriage is over.
Let me ask you this, Gary. Are you claiming that Lovie Smith intentionally tried to win that football game yesterday?
100%.
Why didn't he intentionally try to win every game they played this year? If he intentionally won that game yesterday, why didn't the Texans go 17-0?
Can I answer it?
You're on the line.
Okay, good. Thank you. Each of the other games that he was in, he probably wasn't in a position. It ain't like he didn't try to, but the team ineptness, and for whatever reason this time we were close enough, they were close enough to pull it off. In all of those other games, their ineptness at quarterback in every other position didn't provide that opportunity for them. But because this opportunity was great and it was there, he seized the moment. Everything lined up.
All right, Gary. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Lovie Smith intentionally tried to win a football game yesterday. I don't know why he didn't do that with all year long. I don't know why he didn't do that in Illinois. I don't understand why he didn't do that at Tampa Bay. Why is that's the secret. Lovie Smith would still be coaching in the NFL if he intentionally tried to win every game that he coached.
I think if you look at the whole game, too, and we said this and set it up for you guys before the game even took place, that there might be a theme of bad football in which both teams try to lose. I mean, there was the one sequence where the Texans turn over the Colts and on the very next play throw a pick to give it right back to them, or the play in which it looked like a Colts player knocked the ball out of the other Colts player's hands intentionally to force a fumble that the Texans recovered. Like, I think everybody knew that there was more to win by losing than for either team to win this game, and it was going to be like who was going to be able to fake it and make it best. But then Lovie decided that, hey, look, you know, the opportunity presents itself, and you know he's there to coach winning football games, and he won a football game. And so, I mean, I really believe that whether there was a discussion or he was in the process of trying to talk his way into staying, or if any of the discussions had happened or not, he knew enough and had heard enough that the feeling was probably there that he wasn't going to be back. That was a greater sentiment than he was.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the players who can't really afford, literally, to put on tape really, really poor performances, even if they're taking one for the team because they're looking for a job next year, coaches believe in the same thing. Like, at a certain point, I'm still constantly putting tape down that shows what I can do as a coach, and in this case, as a defensive coordinator as well. But no one wants to take an L, you know, at the end of the season and have that tape live with you for a lifetime. And so I just think Lovie is a football coach. Football coaches are trained to win football games, and he won a football game.
He intentionally tried to win. 0-8-3-5, why did he go for two then? And this is something that you brought up a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, week 18 goes for two. Week one kind of played for the tie. I don't like the comparison, if I'm honest. Week 18, the Texans know that they're eliminated from playoff contention. They have no chance of making the postseason. We all know that. We learned over the weekend that Lovie Smith, whenever they were having preseason meetings and stuff, was putting on the PowerPoints Houston Texans 2022 Super Bowl champions. So in week one, he was still playing for the big picture. Week one, he was playing knowing that he had another game coming up against the Colts, so we can't lose this game because then we would split the season series if we beat them in week 18. I thought in week one, if you are a good team, and look, Lovie Smith has to coach the team in week one like they have a chance. We obviously know that they did not. But if you think your team is a playoff caliber team, you have to make the right decision, even if the right decision is playing for the tie. Week 18, whenever you're eliminated from the postseason, it's a completely different story. So I don't think it's an apples to apples comparison, week one versus week 18.
And here's my rebuttal to that, okay? Week one, you're trying to set a tone for a new locker room as you've just taken over this team, and you want this team to believe that you believe in your team so much that you're going to do what's necessary to back them and they're going to win a football game. Instead of, you know, going for the tie or playing to be safe, you're going to believe your guys are able to execute a play and you're going to give them that momentum. On top of that...
But going against what the book tells you and like all the computer analytics, everything that tells you.
I think that, because of the fact that you were winning, you were dominating most of that football game. You were in control of most of that football game.
The momentum was not on your side. You did not dominate the fourth quarter.
No, but in the fourth quarter, things changed. And the way that you could have turned that back around again was saying, but I believed in my guys. We were the better team all for most of that day. And we're going to go and make sure that we get a win out of this and we don't walk away with a tie and just shaking our heads like, how the hell did we let that happen? And then in the case of what happened yesterday, I believe that if you kick the field goal and then let it play out in overtime, it's easier to deflect it and say, hey, look, I wanted to make sure that, you know, we didn't lose it by missing the two-point conversion and all the heat that he would have taken, and maybe that would have been the ceiling factor, or I don't
how
know.
How are you doing that in Week 18, though, where there's nothing to play for?
Well, because...
Week 1, you still have the entire schedule ahead of you.
I just think, to me, you can go into it in overtime, and if you lose, then you can say, hey, you know what? We did what we needed to do. We took it as far as we could. But if you force the action and then say you don't get it, then everybody's going to say, oh, that's what they did. They tanked it. And right or wrong, we can go back and forth, because I can see points on both sides. It's just, to me, I wanted to see a more aggressive Lovie Smith all along, and we saw too many times where we saw punts and trust your defenses when they were gassed throughout the year instead of going for it on short yardage or going for twos. And now all of a sudden he's going to completely change directions in Week 18, and he's going to be the aggressive coach that goes for two. Yeah. It was just different for me.
But you can see Week 18, nothing to play for. Week 1.
No, I get it. Well, yeah, but some would say left. A lot to play for by losing.
Right, but Lovie wasn't thinking that way.
No.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Blake, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Blake?
Hey, guys, I just want to say I've been waiting for this segment the whole weekend just to hear y'all take it, and y'all don't disappoint. But just regarding losing the number one overall draft pick, I didn't want that to happen. But I have never seen the Texans convert two fourth and longs and then a two-point conversion in the same drive.
Yep.
So I'm really upset that I couldn't actually enjoy the win when it matters. So that's what I wanted to kind of throw out there. It was a bigger loss because I really wanted to enjoy us outperforming where I never, out of all the years of me watching the Texans, that never happened. And then when it happened, it was more of a loss than a win.
Yep. Appreciate the call. Guys. Appreciate the call, Blake. Thanks for the kind words. And I think Blanker said it best whenever we were having our little pre-show meeting in the bullpen. They Texaned it.
the Texans are going to Texan.
They Texaned that game yesterday.
And I said it to you leading into the weekend. I'm like, it would be so Texan to embrace the suck and do everything right to follow the plan to a T to get to this point and then to watch it all fall apart and crumble in your hands in the last week of the regular season. And I tweeted too where I said, look, for over 2.5 years, you didn't have to lift a finger or do a whole lot to be the laughing stock and the hands down worst franchise in the NFL, let alone maybe the worst franchise in all of professional sports, with all of the debacles you created, all the messes you had, all of the things that you did on a week-by-week basis that made everybody laugh at you, and then all of a sudden in Week 18, you busted your ass and worked as hard as you possibly could to get a win so you could only keep that reputation going stronger than ever with everybody else going, how dumb do you have to be, you dumbasses? You could have lost and got the number one pick.
You don't think they were trying hard in other games, though?
I'm not saying they weren't trying hard. I'm just saying they worked extra hard doing things that Lovie hadn't done. Lovie did what he hadn't done all season. He went for two.
The caller did tell us Lovie was trying to win that game. So that might have been the first time. If I can offer maybe just a little bit of a positive spin on this, 2010, the Texans did something similar where they were dead in the water. I believe they were 5-10 going into the last game, had no reason to win it. We're sitting at the 6th pick, win the game, and move all the way back to 11, and they draft J.J. Watt. So, obviously, who knows what happens with the draft picks, and it's completely different with a quarterback and 1 versus 2, or, you know, compared to 6 versus 11. But the last time something like this happened, ended up them getting J.J. Watt.
Yeah, it could still work out, but you left money on the table. 713-780-ESPN. How we feel in Houston? How you feel in Hive? Texans choke away the top overall pick. They fire Lovie Smith as soon as they touch down in Houston. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. It is Black Monday in the NFL. Texans didn't take that long. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Brian, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. First, I want to preface by saying I'm not a Texans fan. I am a Chargers fan. So when you guys say the Texans are going to Texan, I'm all too familiar. It's the Chargers like to charge. But my take is that maybe Caserio had an idea with Lovey that, hey, we don't like the headache of having Bryce Young as our number one pick because he's undersized. We don't want to have to deal with that. If we miss on this, we're set back another 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Let someone else, like, say, the Colts, trade up with the Bears to make that pick and overpay for Bryce Young, and he becomes a bust or just an average, okay quarterback. I've watched Bryce Young since he was in high school. I'm from Orange County, California. And when you don't have those behemoths up front like you did at Modern Day or at Alabama, you kind of get exposed. And this year, he didn't have the world-class receivers, so he got kind of exposed and he got hurt.
Yeah. Brian, let me ask you this real quick, Brian. Are you suggesting that Caserio and Lovey had a master plan to try to win the game so they would not have to select Bryce Young in the draft?
That is a possibility. I mean, they're saying, hey, we have too many questions.
Why couldn't you just trade down? Why couldn't you just pick somebody else? Like, you don't have to select Bryce Young if you have pick number one.
And, Brian, the variable is you don't know that whoever trades up to get that pick is lock, stock, and barrel going to take Bryce Young. They might not want to take him either. They might like somebody more. And then what are you going to do? What's your third option? Because you're not going to have your first or your second if you don't want Bryce Young and they don't take and they take the guy that you had earmarked to be your guy. You got to do so much stunting right now and smoke screening and faking and acting and like some guy you don't probably like just so that you make sure the guy that you do like is available when you pick because of the fact that you're not picking first in this draft.
Look, I don't necessarily disagree with Brian's point. Like, I've told y'all for the last 2 to 3 weeks, and even at the start of the college football season, and I was kind of on the fence in the middle of the year, that I like Will Levis more than Bryce Young as an NFL draft prospect. So, like, I don't necessarily disagree with the point, Brian, but you're not going to, again, intentionally win a game when the Houston Texans have really struggled to win games in the last 3 years. The Texans have won 4, 4, and 3 games in the last 3 seasons. Yet the Texans all of a sudden are going to flip the switch and try to win. Like, let's dispel that for a moment. If you're going to call into the Killer Bees, 713-780-ESPN, stop saying that the Texans won on purpose. Like, what are we talking about here?
Like,
how can a team that won the switch? Yeah, how could a team that won a total of, I think you put 11 games in the last 3 years, intentionally win a game? Like, decide, this is the game we're going to win. If they're only capable of winning 11 games in 3 years, how could they then...
If it was that easy to control your own destiny game to game and flip the switch and win whenever you want to, beat the Cowboys.
Because
you were whooping the Cowboys' ass all game.
Beat the Chiefs.
Well, but you weren't winning that game like you winning in the Dallas game.
It went to overtime, though.
But you still could have won that game. But you were dominating the Cowboy game almost the whole game. Well, if it's that easy to just say, well, then, you know, we're going to pick the games we're going to win. We're going to win the ones that we know we want to win. Well, why didn't you want to win one of those two games?
And I don't disagree with much of what Brian had to say. I just can't buy into the conspiracy theory. Because if you're not a Bryce Young guy, okay, don't select Bryce Young or trade down. And if you're trading down from one,
but you control
and if you're trading down, exactly.
That's the
exactly.
main thing.
Like, I agreed with most of Brian's call. I can't believe to the 10% where he put his tinfoil hat on. Like, that's outrageous.
Yeah, because if you have number one and you like C.J. Stroud over Bryce Young, then you trade back and you pick up value and still get C.J. Stroud.
Or you just select C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, or you just take select the guy you want outright. Or, like I always bring up the example, the best example I've ever seen orchestrated is Danny Ainge with the Celtics, who wanted Jason Tatum, but knew he could get him at 3, and knew the Sixers were enamored with Markelle Fultz, and traded the number one pick to the Sixers, knowing that they would take their guy and he would get his, and he got an extra one and some other sweeteners to do it and made the team even better, still getting the guy he wanted. You could try and manipulate the system and do something like that too, but you were in total control. Now there's a variable you don't control called the Chicago Bears, which could screw the whole thing up.
713-780-ESP at HRMP List Interline, 713-780-3776. Back out there for Jimmy. Jimmy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Great show. Thanks for taking my call. I want to start off and say I agree with Joel from what his take was earlier about Lovey should have set the tone with this team from week one. Because the thing is, if that was the case, and that I think
things may have been different. I'm being optimistic in that sense. If he was aggressive from week one. That being said, you know, the Texans got now have a number two pick. I'm on the side of the fence of I'm hoping they don't pick quarterback and start filling gaps, because I know there's Caleb Williams for next year. The thing is, I don't know if folks are talking about this or not, but you got Derek Carr out there, there's Zach Wilson's out there. I'm not saying they're great options, but yeah. I could see Nick Caserio doing something like that.
Yeah, I entertain that whole Caleb Williams thing. Appreciate the call, Jimmy. If you're Nick Caserio, you can't afford to do that. Could you make the case if you're Cal McNair and you're the owner and there's so many ifs and buts, candies and nuts, this scenario. First off, GM Nick Caserio cannot afford to wait around for a quarterback. He's got to win, and he's got to win now. Because Cal McNair, what this symbolized to me, by the way, which I actually like by firing Lovie Smith, is okay, we all think that Cal McNair hired Lovie Smith. Some people disagree with that. I believe that Cal hired Lovie. Cal's willing to fire Lovie after a year, which doesn't put him in great light, and he kept Nick Caserio. And I think he's going to turn it over to Nick Caserio, let him hire his guy.
You've been the one that's painted this picture of right. Do what you did with Bill O'Brien. Give him the full control, the autonomy, and the keys to the car and say either drive it to the finish line or drive it off the road and down the cliff.
But the seat is now warm for Nick Caserio, right?
Because I'm the one that said it's not fair to evaluate him on a rebuild in 2 years.
Sure.
But in a year's time, if we're still having this conversation, nothing's off the table in terms of his job.
I'll be honest, I wouldn't have cared if they fired him yesterday. And I've been a little bit – I don't know if I'm pro Caserio. I know sometimes people have called me pro Caserio, but I'm not in favor of firing Caserio. During that game yesterday, after that game, if they fired Caserio, I would not have cared. Would not have cared, because I think it was criminal that he didn't. I think he stole the number one pick away from the Houston Texans by not having Cooks, Tunsil, Howard, Christian Harris, Jalen Petrie. You name your 5-6 guys inactive. I thought it was a failure for the organization, for the long term interest of the organization. And if Cal McNair wanted to hold Nick Caserio liable for that, see ya. Would not care. And I what has Caserio done to make you sad if he leaves? Do I think he should be fired second year, maybe a year and a half into the rebuild? No, I don't. But that game yesterday, heads had to roll, and Lovie Smith's head ended up rolling. Now, but Caserio can't focus on Caleb Williams. I'm willing to understand.
There's too many variables are in the way that you don't control that could backfire.
But even that, you got to start winning and showing progress. And it's difficult to do if you roll out with a Davis Mills or you retread Derek Carr or you go with a Zach Wilson who's just as random or as a big a wild card as any rookie in this draft, maybe even more of a wild card than any rookie of this draft. Now, if you're the owner who's going to be here forever until you sell the team, which,
may never happen,
then Cal could be like, you know what? I like this Caleb Williams guy. I think he's going to be the next greatest quarterback that there is. I am telling you to do whatever is in your power to get that next guy. Even that is a reach. Even that is incredibly far-fetched. I don't think it is a reasonable thing to suggest. And look, I think Caleb Williams is going to be great. I also don't think it's a reasonable thing to suggest. Caserio has to go out and if you want to go defense first, okay, go defense first, but you got to figure out to get a quarterback in this first round.
Well, because first of all, you don't really have an answer for quarterback for next season, so you wouldn't go out and spend a boatload of money or make a trade giving up capital that's so valuable to you to get a Derek Carr, no matter what you'd have to get up, and then have to take on his contract. You'd rather go get another bridge that's over the hill or never been able to do anything.
And you're entertaining the...
And embrace the suck for another year by taking a guy that's not going to blow anybody's doors off and give you the best chance to lose, quite honestly, so you can be in a position to take Caleb Williams. But you still got it. You can't predict the rest of the league. The same way at the start of the year that we looked at the Giants and the Seahawks and other teams and said, most people that are prognosticators said they're going to be bottom five, nowhere near sniffing the playoffs. And now the Giants and the Seahawks are sitting there in the playoffs getting ready for a game this weekend. And everybody goes, who saw that coming? Mm-hmm. That's how easy and how quickly everything can turn on you. And no matter how much the best laid plans say, you can do this again and get Caleb Williams. A lot of roadblocks come along the way that can prevent you from getting Caleb Williams.
In my dream offseason, for the most part, I don't want to go deep into the weeds here because now's not the day to do it. But if you just looked at it from a three big things that happened in this offseason, we talked about this last week. The first thing is you give Nick Caserio total control. I think that we saw yesterday Nick Caserio has total control, especially after the Jay Glazer report where he said Lovie, Nick, or both will be fired. It's very clear reading Cal McNair's statement yesterday that he and Nick are going to be involved in the next coaching hire. Nick Caserio ain't going anywhere. So they've given Nick Caserio, for the most part, total power. My second power play here in the offseason of my three-prong attack. My second one is you bring Ben Johnson in. I want Ben Johnson to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. What he has done to Detroit is amazing. Third, you draft a first-round quarterback, and quite honestly, if you bring in Ben Johnson, I trust Ben Johnson's expertise in the quarterback position more than I trust mine, so I would give up whatever I'm saying about the quarterbacks I like, Will Levis, and I trust Ben Johnson more than Nick Caserio. So that's my three-prong thing. We've already seen one. Nick Caserio, total control. Second one, Ben Johnson needs to be the head coach of this team. Third, first round, you tell Ben Johnson you have the second pick of the draft to select whichever quarterback's on the board that you like.
Keep going, but here's what I'm saying. So I'm with you on these points, but I'm gonna add caveats to them, okay? So I'm gonna tell you just the same way you just made a statement, then you and Caserio are gonna be involved in the coaching process. Then whoever you select as head coach, and I'm totally with you watching the play calls up close and personal of Ben Johnson last evening and the innovation and the way he has a firm grasp on offense in the NFL in today's day and age. If I'm going to make him the head coach, then I'm going to make sure that as part of me and Nick making making it our mission to get the right head coach, I'm also going to tell Nick, and once we get said head coach is going to have a huge say in what we do in the first round of this draft. Yep. And it's not just about the quarterback, because I'm totally with you. I want the guy that's going to have the reins as an offensive-minded head coach to get the guy that he, not you, Nick, he sees fit to be the best chance for this team to succeed going forward for the franchise. And then on top of it, if he says that in the second pick of the first round with Cleveland's pick, you want a wide receiver, Nick, you're going to let him do that too, because in order to succeed and have a quarterback that is going to do what he needs them to do, he needs the other weapons too. So let him be involved in the process.
I'd keep Brandon Cooks. It's something nobody wants to hear.
Doesn't
today.
Matter. You can keep Brandon Cooks and still go get another top-line wide receiver, and you're a better team.
That one's got to be within reason, though. Like, that needs to be within reason. Like, if all the first-round receivers are taken at that spot, you can't reach that's got to be within reason.
Now,
number two, you know there's going to be a quarterback there.
And 12, I don't think there's going to be a run. You take a look at three quarterbacks.
The problem with 12 is, like, I only think that there's one receiver that deserves to go at 12.
Kid from TCU.
Yeah, and I'm not sure he's there. The other receivers, I think, I wouldn't draft them at 12. I think their second half.
Well, maybe
first
you could trade
receivers
back a little bit and still more.
I like it at 33. It at 33.
Regardless, he's going to be involved in getting more offensive weapons for him, because if you tell me that in a year's time that you get Ben Johnson, he gets the quarterback he wants. If you keep Brandon Cooks, Mechie comes back from his health issues, and then you get another receiver in this draft. I like the fact that this quarterback has weapons.
For the record, I don't think they will keep Brandon Cooks, but if you're trading him for a six-rounder,
I think that bridge
silly.
Is burned and that
too.
Ship is sailing.
I do too. 713-780-ESPN. Howie Fillin Hive, day after the regular season concludes and the Texans choke away pick number one, and they fire Lovie Smith before you go to bed. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
How we feeling, Hive? The eve of Lovie Smith's firing. Actually, it's not the eve. It's the day after. The day after Lovie's firing. The day after the season concludes. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Ryan, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I knew that the Texans were going to Texan 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
But anyways, at what point do you start trusting that they make the right decisions? I don't even trust them with this draft. What do you guys think?
I think it's a good question, Ryan. You had the same foresight that the Killer Bees did and Beezy Money when we bet the Texans to win outright, because the Texans going to Texan. At some point, they got to stop, right? And you're hoping that this is part of the reason why if they fired Nick Caserio yesterday, I wouldn't have cried about it. I've been kind of defending Nick Caserio the last month or so whenever people have been calling for his job and saying that he should be fired. And people had the audacity to say that he should be fired, and because he's like saying that there's more important things in football, because he wished people a happy Thanksgiving. There's more important things in football, and people thought he should be fired for that. Stupid, especially what happened last week with Hamlin. But I digress. I just can't get over that take. But whenever, like, if they would have fired Caserio yesterday, whatever. Like, Caserio hasn't done anything to this point where I'm like, I'm standing on this table that you have to keep the guy. I think his job as a GM so far has been all right. I don't think that it's been, you know, I don't think he's hung the moon. I don't think he deserves to get fired. I think it's been firmly in the middle, and I think the jury's very much still out for Caserio. You can point to some bad things. You can point to some good things.
And I always go to the whiteboard, but you and I had this discussion. We were both on the same page with the fact that just like Rome wasn't built in a day, a rebuild wasn't done in a year and a half. And especially when the first year you don't have a first or a second round pick. So the fact that we can all say, has he done a stellar job? Absolutely not. But when we go back and forth, the positives and the negatives, there's not enough there for me to say he's tripped and fallen so many times so bad that he needs to go immediately. And this wasn't as cut and dried as like a David Culley. This is more like, hey, the fact that owners don't like giving out free money, taking on contracts for guys to go away with 4 years left on their deal. And he hasn't done anything so drastically bad that says, I got to do this now.
Well, Cal's not bashful to spend now.
But I don't care. No matter how rich the richest of rich are, they don't like giving away free money. And Tillman will tell you the same thing.
But Tillman's not Cal. Cal's giving away free money. He's giving away free money to O'Brien. He probably gave away free money to Easterby because I'm sure Easterby was under contract. Give away free money for David Culley. He's now giving away free money for Lovie Smith.
It's just
Cal's willing to put his money where his mouth's at.
He doesn't like doing it. I can tell you that. And if he's
doing
had
it year
to do
and year
it,
again.
Sometimes you have to do it no matter what because you're forced to do it. But at the same time, they all add up, and no one likes, no matter how rich the guy is, no one likes giving away that kind of money, especially to multiples with as many, as you point out, that he's already done. But overall, because of the fact that most rebuilds take 3+ years, the guy's got a 6-year contract, he's not even through the second year yet, and he didn't have 2 full drafts to complete anything to rebuild this roster, which was, both of us agreed, the worst roster in the NFL. That's why I said he doesn't warrant it this year. Next year, if we're having this conversation at the very same time, 3 years in, and we haven't seen any progress, and we haven't seen the development of young players on a better roster, it's fair conversation. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think it's appropriate for right now.
But if it happened yesterday, I would not have cared. Because I didn't like the result of the game. I feel Nick Caserio should have had players inactive. And it would also symbolize, to Ryan's point, who just called in, it would symbolize a blank slate. Because, like, for the thing that you talked about earlier, the Texans are going to Texan it. Ryan just brought it up again. Texans choke away the first overall pick because they Texaned in that game yesterday. At some point, you need to escape that, and you need blank slates. I still think that Nick Caserio at the helm as general manager could be creating this new blank slate, doesn't have the Easterby factor, give him full reign over this organization. You let him hire a coach because I don't think Cal let him hire a coach last year. I still think that you can accomplish a blank slate, but there's still a little bit of question that are going on in that organization of, does he have full power? Does he have full reign? Is he going to be influenced? Is he a con man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Where if you fire him, all of that stuff is eliminated. There is zero doubt. There is zero Patriot way. You can move on knowing that for sure you have the blank slate. I'm not saying that they should have fired Caserio, but I would have been okay with it if they did it yesterday because of the way the game went, because Nick Caserio has done nothing where I'm going to stand on the table advocating for his job. And then lastly, because it does symbolize the blank slate of trying to start a completely anew.
The thing with the league and the reputation, if you had made a move too, is the fact that the next guy coming in needs to have it very clear cut and defined as to how much control he's going to have and what he's going to be able to dictate. And so when you saw the press release come out, and it basically indicated that it was going to be Cal and Caserio with the next coach. It muddled up the waters even more as to who made the last choice and how many of the choices was Caserio involved in and how many did he do all by himself, if any. And then going forward, to your point, there at a certain point, give him the keys, get out of the way, and either let him sink or swim. And I think that when you go through something like this, I think it was too soon to do it as of yesterday. I think that next year it's fair to say if he continues to just waddle and tread water, that you can make a move and be okay with it. Mm-hmm. But I think that just like whoever screwed up the first two coaches, this is where you sink or swim. You're in this. We're doing this. You're running the show. And let's go. Because you don't want, from a league-wide kind of undercurrent situation, general managers and or coaches going, I don't want to be there because I have no idea who's running the show on a daily basis. I don't know how we get things done when I need to get something done. And I don't even know who to talk to if I need to get something done that I don't fully control. So you're not going to get a Belichick. You're not going to get a Parcells. But if you want a dominant general manager in your next go round, then you damn sure better be able to say, I turn the keys over to Caserio, sink or swim, he drowned.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Back out there for Chris. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. I kind of want to touch on what the guy said, the Charger fan. I do think that the front office for the Texans is breathing a sigh of relief today. I do think they were feeling pressure to take Bryce Young at number one. I mean, the Texans do listen to what the, you know, you guys say, to what the fans say before they make any decisions, you know. I hopefully they can hire the coach they want, you know. Maybe they'll allow themselves to pick who they want rather than being worried about whether or not they're being called racist.
All right, that was Chris's mic drop. You know, on the phone.
Boom
after
shakalaka.
That. I have heard that quite a bit nationally. I know Ryan Clark said some things on what is the show with
First
Greenberg?
Take.
First Take. I don't watch it. I know RG3 had some things to say on Twitter. I know Michael Irvin had some stuff to say. Tony Dungy sent out a tweet as well. I don't understand. Like, I understand their point of view. You fire two black head coaches after a year, back-to-back years, is not a good look. I think both are justified, though. I think if you go look at David Culley's only year, won 4 games, matched the Vegas total, but there was a lot of incompetence there. The Texans didn't want to fire David Culley. They did not want to fire Culley because they knew that Culley was the bridge, but they felt that people could not take the Texans seriously if they continued to employ David Culley as the head coach, so they moved on. The Lovie Smith was a hire after a Sunday supper at the 11th hour, was not at all on the initial interview list, was not on the finalist list, and then Cal McNair told Nick Caserio that he had to hire him.
After the panic button had been pushed
by the
league-wide.
Brian Flores lawsuit.
Yep, no question.
But then what Lovie Smith, like, Lovie Smith was never going to be a defensive coordinator again in the NFL. Texans hired him. He was never going to be a head coach again in the NFL. Texans hired him. After the work that he's done with the Texans, no other team in the NFL is going to hire him, at least as a defensive coordinator. There is no demand for Lovie Smith. The Texans are totally justified for moving on from Lovie Smith. And no, they've had some racist things that they've done in the past in the organization, from Bob McNair to Cal McNair's talking probably at River Oaks or whatever. Firing Culley, firing Lovie had nothing to do with racism.
Jeremy, look, you look at this from the outside looking in, and instantaneously it screams of racism. Racism, or the fact that you fired two black coaches in 2 years, and we kept saying, look, if they do this, and not that I agree with what the way the caller said it, but I do think that they are maybe too involved in caring what the public perception and the media perception of them is on a daily basis. But take racism out of this one, because for two entirely different reasons, the moves were made because of circumstance. Culley, because he looked like a bumbling buffoon and didn't know what the hell he was doing after 1 year, because you're right, wrong guy, but their initial plan was, whoever we hire for this first go-round to get this rebuild started, we fully intend to be here two, and if for some reason they show like they're carrying it forward a little bit, we might even see three. But they picked the wrong guy for the job. So that's why he failed miserably and he was removed. Lovie was the knee-jerk panic button pushed. We got to do something quickly so we get off the radar of the NFL and everybody watching. And we did something that we felt like at the time was the right thing to do to quickly get out from under a bad circumstance. Now, looking forward, if you're going to take a franchise quarterback, and we talked about how you can stunt the growth and set back a franchise quarterback when you draft him, if they see multiple coaches and or offensive coordinators in their first several years in the league, and there's plenty of examples to turn to, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, others down the line, that if they know in their heart of hearts, hey, Lovie's a veteran, old-school, defensive-minded coach, I got to get the right guy now because now I'm ready to take the next step because I'm ready to take a franchise quarterback in the draft. You can't take Lovie Smith for another year. So it's just the circumstances, not the racist part of this, that made them do what they did yesterday.
The Houston Texans have the second pick in the NFL draft. They also have the 12th pick in the NFL draft. They have double-digit picks coming up in the 2023 NFL Draft. Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout. He's an ESPN NFL Draft analyst and insider. We're going to start taking a peek ahead to the 23 NFL Draft. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.